going on, everybody? And thank y'all so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale, and I'm not alone. Battling through the frozen tundras of Toth. Or is it Hoth?
Hoth.
I think it's Hoth.
Hoth, yes.
It's Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in the frozen winterland.
He walked over. I watched him venture through the snowstorms, coming out like the great gray ghost of McDonough.
Well, there's no reason to get the cars out. I wish I had my truck. My truck's been in the shop for like 3 weeks,
man. I don't have a four-wheeler anymore. If I'd have a four-wheeler, or a go-kart.
I wish I had the old three-wheelers. Those were fun. They were so much fun that they outlawed them because people were dying on them.
You remember
that's what made them fun.
You remember the photos I posted on my Instagram from the three-wheeler wreck I had when I was 9?
Yeah.
Yeah. That shows, folks, yeah, if you want to see something great, I remember it's been a year or two back, maybe a little longer. You can go to my personal Instagram and see I got mixed up in a pretty good collision, like wrecked one, and yeah, I kind of got all beat up.
The three-wheelers, man.
Yeah, three-wheelers.
I had a Honda.
Yeah, Todd had the big red, right, when they come out, and then I had the Kawasaki, God, I forgot which one it was. None of them have shocks. Right? It was the tires. So you would jump it and then it would bounce and then you'd wreck your ass. All of the old school Gen Xers, y'all remember, you know what it was like. Cut that corner, roll that three-wheeler, get up on top of you.
Yeah, those things were awesome, though.
It was so much fun.
I knew a guy that had a Honda. It was like a 500cc.
Yeah.
That sucker would move. I didn't have one of those, but man, they were a lot of fun. But you would flip them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a given. You were going to crash it. It's kind of like a dirt bike, right?
We all had dirt bikes.
Yeah, and we're going to crash.
But I also had a three-wheeler, and that thing was a lot of fun. Then they just started outlawing them. They're like, no, you're not.
Too many people are dead.
Yeah, and then that made you want to ride it more.
You remember when the quads came out and you didn't have pegs anymore. They had those looked like seatbelt webbing net where you set your feet.
Yeah.
I always wanted one of those because I'm sure you did the same on your three-wheeler. You'd be horse-assing around, slip off of it, and your foot go under the back tire.
Yeah.
Man, we're lucky to be alive doing stupid crap. I hope everybody is having a great week and weekend. And if you're dealing with the cold, you're like us. We've just been cooking. I've been doing a lot of cooking, man.
I mean, we haven't lost power. We're doing great. I mean, we're snowed in, but we're fine. But like I told you last night, my brother-in-law, he lost power.
Yeah.
And I remember when you were texting me, I'm like, yep, I remember.
Last time we lost
You lost power. Yeah. You know, so that kind of sucks. But outside of that, I don't understand why people freak out so bad. It's like, it's just a weekend.
Bro, I got a cord and a half of seasoned oak wood. I can get that fireplace going.
Yeah.
Dude, you can't even be in the room with it. It gets so warm. I wished I had a wood-burning stove also. I love a wood burning stove.
Oh, like the one I had when I was a kid?
Yes, I love those.
If you remember, in our living room, we had a fireplace.
Yep.
And we also had a wood burning stove down in there.
It only took, what was it, 8 guys to move that stove in? 7 dudes?
Yeah, it was pretty.
Dude, that thing. But
solid
also,
cast iron.
But how old was it? That thing had been around for, it wasn't new when y'all brought
it
in.
No, it was not.
That thing would have been like 100 years old.
I don't know where my father found it. I think that thing was like 50 years old when he bought it.
Did they sell it with the house? It stayed there?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. I bet it's still there now.
Nobody's going to move it. You have to go in there with a damn forklift to get it out of there.
Step and all those guys are the ones that carried it.
They brought it in. Yeah. Yeah. We need to ask him. We'll have to holler at Step and see how old was that thing? Because it was a big one. It wasn't a smaller one. I remember that thing was large. Because I remember your dad putting Dutch ovens on it, cooking all kinds of stuff on top of it in the winter when it would be going.
That thing would throw a lot of heat. You'd be surprised. It'd heat that whole end of that house.
Man, it was awesome. I miss it. That's what I love about the cold weather. Folks, if you don't have one, I hope you're staying warm any other way. Let's talk about warm. Let's talk about summertime. Let's talk about the summer of 1996.
Ooh.
It's a good summer.
It was a good summer. I was 19.
Yeah. Kyle didn't drink. He didn't drink till he was 22 or 23. He was a good Christian lad there. Hey, over there, Mr. Filson.
Oh, yeah, I was an altar boy.
No, Kyle was a problem when he was younger. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and move on. So here is a story that took place in Orange County. This is what it said. This was a story that was found among the personal effects of a deceased witness, and years later was forwarded in by this witness's son, who believed this whole thing is genuine, found that after his father died, it's like, this is a story. Of course, this is something I'm going to do. I'm just letting y'all know. If any of you are listening right now that are young, when I say young, I'm talking high school age kids, y'all are long. Look, when I die, get ready. They're going to find all kinds of stuff. I'm just letting y'all know. Y'all are going to be in on it, right? It might go crazy. I'm going to write up some crazy stuff.
Because you're a big believer that deathbed confessions are always believed.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that's why
it.
You're going to tamper with that.
I would 100%.
By 100% lying on your deathbed.
100% I'm going
to
lie.
Just to mess people. Just to mess with people.
I got to. Why would you
Why not, do you instantly think of trolling people all the time?
Why would
it's
you,
a problem.
It's the last thing I would be able to do on this planet.
Yeah, but how about the last thing you do on this planet is like be nice, like donate to charity or something?
That's overrated.
You want to troll people.
Yeah. Look, there's plenty of people donate. I just want to donate a little fun in the world, right? I want you to go, wait a minute. Was that real? Or did he
and
make
because
it
it's
up?
A deathbed confessional, everybody's going to automatically give it more weight, right? We always talk about credibility of sightings.
Based
on who's the witness.
Yeah.
Well, for whatever reason, a deathbed confessional is always like, man.
But the problem
why would
is.
Why lie when he's dying?
You know my entire extended family, and I don't think they're going to believe anything I tell them.
No.
Because I've been trolling all of my nieces and nephews and all that since they were little, messing with them. So I would imagine it's not going to work out great. But you know what? We're going to try it.
I'd say 80% of the text you text me, I'm like, I need to read that again. Is this like a trick or is this real? For real, for real? Go ahead with your story.
This could be true. So the son said that he believed that this was an accurate and genuine account of his father's lifelong discretion about this whole thing. In the summer of 1996, the man lived with his family in northern Orange County, California.
Mm-hmm.
One evening, while his wife was visiting relatives, he decided to walk to a nearby restaurant for a late dinner. So after finishing his meal, he began the short walk home, cutting through a vacant parking lot. While crossing the lot, he noticed a square-shaped illuminated object hovering overhead. The object descended slightly but emitted no sound. A pulsating white light was visible on its underside, and after several seconds, the object in question abruptly vanished. The fellow said he stood there frozen for several minutes, unsure of what he had just seen, not really knowing what was going on, and half expecting it to just reappear.
Yeah.
Just boom, there it is. He just continued on. He exited the parking lot, walked into a well-lit alleyway. It was at this point there that he noticed a strange figure ahead.
Uh-oh.
Yup. Partially concealed as it peered through a row of hedges. I see you. Alarmed, he crouched behind a parked car to avoid being seen. Don't crouch down, bro. Run.
Right? Yeah, leave.
The figure appeared humanoid but unnatural. That's what they say about Kyle. It stood approximately 4 to 5 foot tall and looked frail. It wore a single piece, light blue bodysuit with an iridescent sheen. There used to be an old man come in the bow shop, always had one of those blues jumpsuits on.
Yeah, what is the official age when you get old enough to where you buy the overalls?
The blue ones?
Yeah, where do you even get them?
We got to order them.
Tractor Supply?
Probably Tractor Supply or Atwoods has probably got them. Bomgars may have them. Surely they got, we're going to have to get
them. I know what you're
talking
about.
When do we get
old
enough to get them, though? Do you know the age? I'm not sure the age.
I think it's 60.
Oh, dude, I'm getting close. Bro, I'm on a countdown mode, right? I'll be 51 this year, bro. I got to get me some. Got to put them in storage and keep them. Now, it goes on to say again that this humanoid appeared. It stood 4 to 5 feet tall, looked frail, wore the jumpsuit, iridescent sheen, high black boots, covered its feet. The soles of the boots emitted a faint glow. They're like those light-up shoes. That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah,
right?
Like the kids got.
Yeah.
What if it had wheels on the bottom?
It's got Heelys.
Yeah.
Ooh, a big, giant, like, iridescent guy Heelying his way towards you. No, thanks.
Why don't they make those in adult-size shoes?
We're going to find out, and we're going to get some. Now, I like this part. The head was large and bald. With a
like
with a pronounced chin, small round eyes, and no visible ears, and an expressionless face. The entity appeared to move with difficulty as if impaired or unsteady.
Is that Pop-Pop?
Right. Yeah, no joke. The witness watched as the being examined the hedges and rummaged briefly through the garbage can before disappearing behind a nearby garage. Moments
Pop-Pop
later...
Pop-Pop does that. He looks for cigarette butts.
That old son of a gun. Moments later, he heard a series of unusual popping sounds coming from the same direction. Ah! After several minutes passed without further movement, curiosity overtook fear. The witness cautiously approached the garage. At that moment, a second entity emerged directly into the alley. This figure was tall and powerfully built with long, dark hair. It resembled an ape-like humanoid that wore no clothing. Its arms were elongated. Its eyes glowed an intense red. Most disturbing was its appearance, which the witness described as partially insubstantial. Glimmer Man-esque, I suppose.
Yeah.
As though it were not entirely solid, more like a projection or hologram than a physical being. This entity emitted several low grunting sounds, turned away, and ran down the alley toward a wooded area at the far end. The witness eventually made it home, only to realize that what should have been a brief walk of a few blocks had taken more than 2 hours.
Uh-oh.
Disturbed and confused, he chose not to report the incident, convinced no one would believe him. He later confided in his pastor and a fellow church member, but both dismissed the account. Over the years, he returned to the alley several times, searching unsuccessfully for physical evidence. He became convinced that he had witnessed what he had witnessed may have been a metamorphic event, and later wondered whether the ape-like entity could have been related to the Sasquatch phenomena.
It's the extraterrestrial's pet.
That's what it sounds, right? Or bodyguard.
You know, like when you see somebody at the park walking their dog. Well, this entity, this
walking
bald,
his squatch.
Is walking his squatch.
It happens, yeah.
He's like examining the shrubs.
You gotta stretch
the
its legs, yeah. Well, you have to carry a big bag to pick up what the Sasquatch would drop off in a yard.
Yeah, you're right. Oh,
a hot steamer and a big old sack.
But that's what the square-looking UFO that descended, it dropped him off.
He just put it into stealth mode.
Yeah.
Took it for a walk. He said the witness ended his letter by requesting further insight, discreet consultation with other researchers, should it be deemed appropriate. He didn't sign it. That's the way it was. And then it wasn't until, of course, after he had passed,
right,
that the son found all this stuff. Apparently in the writings, he goes on to say that the response of shock and fear was what hit him the most.
Well, I could imagine, because, like, okay, so his father didn't tell him this story. He found this written, like,
yes,
in a diary or something.
Yes.
Imagine finding a story like that that your father had written in a diary.
My kids are going to find stories like that.
Yeah, but I'm saying you would be like, what in the heck is this?
Yeah, for real. Well, and the fact that the father, like he was talking about, you know your father so well.
Right.
And then, or you think you do, and then whenever they pass, especially, you know, you learn as you get older, then they pass and you read this and you realize how much it's affected him. It explains a lot, because, you know, it doesn't say that he had that his children, you know, how old they were, any of this stuff at the time. So this is something this fellow experienced, wrote down, and then kept with him because nobody believed it. All every time I hear stories like this, it always makes me go back to the old rancher out there that saw the Bigfoot, and the wife had seen him and said he saw the pigs get attacked, and I didn't want to tell anybody. And it took a few years before he was willing to talk about it whenever they brought Gary in to speak. Something about the fact of you're not hiding it, but you don't want to discuss it, always leads a little more credibility to it.
I
don't
know why it is. 100%, I agree.
I don't know why it is. It just feels that way.
And when you hear it from like an old, I don't know what gives it more credence, but when you hear like an old rancher have an experience like that, you're like, dude, why would he be lying about that?
Exactly.
And the wife knows about it and is imploring him to please tell somebody else about it.
Yeah, let somebody else know.
Yeah, well, the old rancher I used to haul hay for. Well, one of them.
Yep.
It was the same kind of deal. Do you remember we used to haul hay for old Fowler?
Yep.
Remember those days?
He just passed away not long ago.
Really?
Yep. Yep. But hell, I think he was like 182. What's funny is I thought he was old when we were kids.
I know, right?
And I don't think he was about our age.
I'll never forget. It would be like 95 degrees out hauling hay, and he would drink warm, like Old Milwaukee.
Yep.
Not even cold. He didn't keep it in a cooler.
He thought it was harder on his body if it was cold.
Yeah.
So he would just drink it room.
You got to be a tough if you could drink 95 degree weather Old Milwaukee.
Rodeo cold Old Milwaukee, the beast, right? Yeah. Are those guys that drink Natty Lights, just Natty Lights rolling around in the water can till the label rubbed off?
Yeah. So
you're like, bro, come on.
I remember
on.
Hauling hay, and then the hardest part was stacking it in the
putting
barn.
Putting it up?
Yeah. And then I did that, and then at the end of the summer, I bought a knee board.
Yeah. All that work to go knee boarding.
And you think about it now, it was like that knee board was probably $150. So I hauled hay all summer for $150.
This is the knee board that we didn't know that there was like a speed limit that you were supposed to only knee board at like 35. So we would get in Kyle's boat and we're doing like 50 around the lake, bouncing and wiping out. And it wasn't until you really read up, you're like, oh yeah, you weren't supposed to go that fast.
Well, that's another thing. We were left unattended as like 15-year-olds in a boat. Yeah, we could do whatever we wanted to.
Yeah, they take it to the lake and then we're gone.
And remember back then, there was no BWIs. You could drink and drive a boat all you wanted to.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It was not illegal back then. I don't know why it wasn't, but back in the day, you'd be like, no, you can't drive a car and drink, but on a boat, yeah, go for it.
You're good to go, bro. Just no glass. Don't bring any glass. No glass at the beach, but you can drink all the beer cans you want. Yeah, craziness. It was good times.
Speaking of crazy and good times, I know you like stories about fae folk.
Oh, I love them.
We got sent a story.
Yes.
And I think you're going to find it pretty intriguing. It says, years ago, when I was still a teenager, I had a very strange experience I would like to share. When I was a teenager one night, I woke up in the middle of the night, and the door to my bedroom was open, although I never went to bed without closing and locking it. The light in the hallway was on, which also was unusual. Standing in the doorway was a strange little man. He was shorter than the doorknob, about 3 foot tall. He was oddly proportioned, with a large head and nose. He had messy hair and a bulgy overall appearance. He did not resemble a person with dwarfism. His features were too exaggerated to be human, and I never once thought of him as being so. With my room dark and the light in the hall on, he was entirely backlit and appeared as a silhouette. He would move from time to time, shifting his position and scratching himself. I stared at him, man, for several minutes, rubbing my eyes and pinching myself, thinking, man, I must be having a vivid dream. But I assure you, I was wide awake. I was aware in the moment that this could have, perhaps even should have, been frightening. But for some reason, I had no fear of him whatsoever. I was, and am still, extremely curious about him. My impression was that he was simply watching me, and me watching him. He seemed aware that I could see him. But neither of us said anything or attempted to interact with each other. It was like seeing a wild animal, only up close. I didn't want to do anything to frighten him away. I had a good, long look, and then decided the only thing to do at that time, which I know sounds strange, was to go back to sleep. I closed my eyes and fell asleep, knowing that he was still there watching me. But again, I felt no fear or discomfort. I've thought about that experience and him since, and I'm still very curious about what he was, particularly as a region I grew up in does have a strong tradition of fairy sightings, at least as far as I'm aware. A lumpish little man about 3 foot tall, large head, nose, and pot belly, strangely proportioned, and he may have been wearing large cuffed boots. I've had several strange experiences. All were unique and rather hard for me to classify. I heard about your podcast and the experience immediately came to mind. Both during the encounter and now, I thought of him as being a little funny little man, like a dwarf, but something different. I've only read about in fiction. Sometimes very strange things happen. Trevor. Well, thank you, Trevor.
A fae, dude, you had a gnome sighting something.
Just there watching him.
You were watching it, watching you watch it.
I know that it does sound strange when he talked about deciding to roll over and go to sleep. You're like, why in the world would you go to sleep? Like, how could you go to sleep? But that's a very common thread where people kind of feel like sleepy. Drowsy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they just like, I think I'm just going to go to sleep. Where normally you'd be like, I'm going to get up out of bed. I'm going to turn the light on. Yeah.
It's got to be something they do to you, right?
I agree.
It has to be some way whether it's the infrasound or whatever it's pushing over on you, is it's their get out of jail free card. It's like, oh, they see me. I need to do this.
Yeah.
So it'll go back to sleep and I can get out of here.
And I know, of course, people are going to say, oh, you just had a crazy dream.
Could be.
And it could be. But in this case, the person said that they were pinching themselves. They were making sure that they weren't dreaming. But a lot of the people, if it was a hallucination or it was a dream, it's so vivid. It's like nothing they've ever experienced before.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the fae, when you have an experience with them, almost all of them seem dreamlike. Even if it's in the middle of the day.
Yeah,
it's like
it does.
People are like, man, I was in... another dimension almost. Like I was just, this effect came over me and I was like a dreamlike state.
It's so wild.
That I can't explain. And
I love Faye stories.
I do too. And I'm glad you do because I got another one, but let's take a break.
Oh,
and when we get back from the break, I'm going to tell you the other story, right? Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. This episode is brought to you by IQ Bar, our exclusive snack, hydration, and coffee sponsor.
We have a snack sponsor, Kyle.
IQ Bar protein bars, IQ Mix hydration mixes, and IQ Joe mushroom coffees are the delicious low-sugar brain and body fuel you need to win your day. The new year means a clean slate. Time to transform frustration into fuel and power your day with IQ Bar. The ultimate sampler pack is a great way to try all IQ Bar products and flavors. You'll get 9 IQ Bars, you'll get 8 IQ Mix Sticks, and you'll get 4 IQ Joe Sticks. All IQ Bar products are packed with clean, delicious ingredients that keep you physically and mentally fit. Things like magnesium, lion's mane, and more. The new year gives all of us a chance to hit reset, and that includes taking better care of our brains and our bodies. That's where IQ Bar comes in, folks. They make protein bars, hydration mixes, and mushroom coffees designed to help you feel sharp, focused, and ready for whatever the day throws at you. Their ultimate sampler pack, like I mentioned, includes all 3. So you can try everything that they offer. Now, anytime I'm heading to the deer stand, the studio, the gun range, the archery range, or even just to the office, I always make sure to grab a couple IQ bars and some IQ mixes before I walk out the door. Lately, my go-to bar has been the peanut butter chip. And my favorite hydration mix currently is the raspberry lemonade. I just mix it up with some fizzy water, as you would guess, and I'm good to go. Simple, quick, and it actually tastes great.
All right, y'all. Look, right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off of all IQ Bar products, including the sampler pack. Plus, you get free shipping. So to get your 20% off, it's easy. Just text EXPANDED to 64,000. That's the word. Text EXPANDED, EXPANDED, to 64,000. That's EXPANDED to 64,000 for your 20% off. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
January is when we recommit to the habits that support our health and well-being. And naturally, we start looking at what can support those goals, including supplements. But choosing the right supplements can be confusing, because not only are there so many brands out there, the supplement industry itself is a low-trust category. It's lightly regulated, products are easy to make, and companies don't even have to list everything on their label. Now, there's Momentous. They've become the high-trust brand in a low-trust category. They weren't satisfied with the industry standard, so they built the Momentous Standard, their commitment to doing things the right way, not the easy way. Momentous sources the highest quality ingredients on the planet. Their whey protein comes from grass-fed European dairy cows. Their creatine uses the purest form of creatine monohydrate, and every formula is made with clinically backed, highly bioavailable nutrients, with no fillers and no artificial sweeteners. Right now, Momentous is offering listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code AudioBoom. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code AudioBoom for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code AudioBoom.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we're back. I know you have
Hit
a love
me with the
fey,
baby.
I have another fey story.
Load
that was sent
me up
to
with
us.
The fey. And every Trevor, time thanks do, for sending that in too, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks so
Trevor,
much.
Thank you so much. If you have stories you want to share with Cam and I
firing
and
this
the
way.
Listeners, you can email the show expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. Or you can call the hotline. You can call me on a cell phone.
Bling, bling.
888-393-2783. All right, Cam.
Lay it on me.
Here it goes. This was sent to us. It says, I've heard you two talking about the fey. Gnomes, trolls, sprites, and small glowing orbs on your show many times. I want to say first off, thank you for sharing these stories. As a person who's had many experiences that I can't quite explain, it's nice to hear two open-minded individuals like yourselves acknowledging these encounters.
We love them.
My first experience happened when I was around 16. My brother was 14. I saw this tall man standing in my mother's kitchen and decided to watch because it didn't feel threatening. It was over 6 feet tall and wearing plain brown robes and rough woven cloth. It had long white hair. I don't know why they keep saying it. My brother then started calling it by my stepfather's name, but we were supposed to be the only two people in the house. It disappeared in a blink before we could even say another word. My brother will not talk about it with me anymore. Since he's had children, out of fear for their safety. Since then, I've had regular visits, and that lasts no more than a few fleeting moments by two smaller guests. The next first began coming to me after I dropped out of college and moved back into my mother's. I was approximately 22. I was alone for the weekend and watching TV around 3 p.m. when the lighting was partial and the curtains being slightly drawn. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see a hand creeping out from the hallway and reaching to hold the crown molding. The head slowly followed. I was unnerved. I instinctively knew not to look directly, but I could make out all of its features. He had an oblong-shaped head that stood no more than 36 inches. His smile was extremely wide, with a crooked, slightly yellowed teeth that almost looked sharp because of the way they lay. His eyes were large, and his iris and pupils were indistinguishably dark. He wore rough cloth that was a muddy-colored green. His hat was too small for his head, and he had a symmetrical fold over to the left. His smile could only be described as a sinister smile.
Uh-oh.
I've never been afraid of him, but he does give me chills. Things started going missing shortly after that. I've yelled at him a few times, and once he opened all of my cupboards in retaliation. He periodically shows up, always coinciding with a rash of bad luck and missing objects. I just saw him a few weeks ago, in fact. In my mid-20s, I worked as a gardener and discovered an orange tree being strangled by some vines, so I trimmed them away. The next day, while I was watering, I looked up to see this small, shapely woman with long hair motioning to me. Her skin was made of tree bark.
Ooh.
And she only stood about 4 foot tall.
We got a dryad.
Right? I dropped the hose and started to approach, but in a blink, she gracefully did a pirouette and morphed into the tree bark. When I looked closer, I discovered that there were more vines that I had originally missed. The next one I began seeing was at 26. I moved in with a new boyfriend and had a fireplace for the first time. He thought I was going crazy when I told him that I saw a monkey darting out of the fireplace one day. I was pretty worked up because I thought I was losing it. I watched for weeks trying to get a good look until I finally glimpsed the face. I was seeing this little hairy goblin-like man. It looked like many depictions I've seen of Bigfoot and other gnomes, but this one was only 11 inches tall, and it was gray.
Ooh.
This little man has been with me every move I've made. I'm 33 now, and I occasionally see him in the thicket of roses and ferns in my garden. I do believe that there are many different races of fairies, even though they seem to shapeshift. Each one has a distinct feeling from the next. Jess.
I believe that 100%. I think there's all different types of the
fae. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I don't think it's all the same thing. I don't think it's all the same phenomenon, but I am a believer in the fae folk. There's just far too many stories throughout history and in other cultures.
For
sure. And even over here, just too many for it all to be made up.
Yeah. And
I don't know what it is, but people talk about going on these LSD trips or different things, and they see the machine elves and if you look into those stories, it's kind of crazy. What is the other one where the people get the laser, and if you get to the wall, you can see like code, like Matrix?
You got to take some DMT to do that too.
Is that DMT?
Yeah, so you can, I think it's what it is, so you can look in there. What I like that's so interesting is that people today are still seeing the gnomes and the little hats and the little beards and all that, which is exactly what was reported over the last 200, 300, 400 years.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the exact same thing. Like, they're there. And knowing what they have found out now, that our eyes knowingly can only perceive certain things. We can only perceive stuff. They believe that there, these entities could be around us at all times.
Yeah.
We just can't pick them up.
I believe
every now and again, you get a few of them in there.
I mean, think about like Wi-Fi, right? You can't see it. But it's there.
Yeah. Man, it's so wild. I just love the story of the Fae. I don't know what it is. I guess because to me, they're scary, but they're not. Man, it's not scary like Dogman scary.
Exactly.
Right.
I'd love to have a Fae encounter. If all the things we cover on the show, if I could have one encounter and I could pick it.
It'd be a lake monster.
It would not be a lake monster.
I would really like it to be a lake monster for you. To be like all the crap I talked, and now there's a giant monster out there in this lake. It would be pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah. I can't tell you how many times I go out at night and just stare up at the sky.
I'd like to
see something other than a satellite or a plane.
Yeah, right.
Because we live in a thoroughfare where DFW Airport, there's constant jets over our house.
Well, even when we hunt, it's just planes. Because even the local planes.
Up with the Cessnas?
Dude.
I'm like, they see me down here.
They're just circling, right? You're like, come on, get out of here. It's just got to be a hot spot of where either the pilots, you know, when you was a kid, you had to do like a driver's ed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everybody had the same air you drove with your driver's ed instructor. Yeah. I wonder if that's what we're in. We're in a driver's ed, a flyer's ed.
Well, it makes sense because it's always like after 5 p.m. So it's like guys get off work and then they get in their Cessnas and then just
fly out, have a couple beers
right over my dealies.
Yeah, throwing beer cans out the Cessna window at
me. Dude.
That's what's going on.
I would love to have a pilot's license. No joke.
Only thing stopping you is fear and common sense. Go for it, baby.
I want a helicopter.
That would be awesome. If you got your helicopter license, I would just hang out the side and shoot pigs.
That's one of the reasons I want one. I want an MD-500, the Loach.
Yeah.
The little bird, whatever you want to call
them. Dude, that would be so much fun.
There's Hughes 500s, there's MD-500s. That's what I want. If I ever hit the lottery, I don't ever play the lottery, but if I did.
Yeah, you'd have to play the game first.
If I ever won big, dude, helicopters definitely.
That's where it's at, huh?
Dude.
Yeah.
I watch these guys on YouTube all the time.
Fly over land, go eat dinner, fly back.
What's the one guy? He's got a Blackhawk.
That's what I'm talking
about. I'm like, dude, how cool is that?
Can we get a Blackhawk?
Yeah.
Dude, let's get one of those.
I want an AH-64 Apache.
Now you're talking.
You could be the gunner in the front.
Dude.
And I'll fly it.
Sign me
Imagine shooting pigs with 20 mils.
Bro, if we're going to die, let's die together in a helicopter crash.
Dude, that'd be pretty dope, right?
That'd be all right with that. That'd be okay. That'd be pretty fun.
Speaking of that, when you mentioned that, we had a friend that was a pilot who died.
Yeah.
Years ago. This isn't recent.
Yeah. Yeah. A buddy of mine, we hunted in Colorado with him.
Yeah.
Steve was a great dude. Yeah. Yep. Ended up clipping a tree coming in, had family on it, got them all out, but he did not make it.
And yeah, speaking of that, ironically, the January 19th, 20th, and 21st, me and Cam were supposed to be hunting with Ducks Unlimited TV.
Yeah, we were going to film it for television, the whole thing, but there was a drought before all this got here, and so the ducks weren't flying real well.
That's right. And so John texted me last week and said—
Our good buddy, John Gordon—
He said, hey, look, the hunting's not really that good. It's kind of a waste of time. Why don't we just wait till next duck season? And I'm like, when's next duck season? I don't know. And he's like, November. And he's like, okay. I was like, dude, sounds good.
And then he wanted us to go to
Pink Floyd
with him over here at Dickie's Arena.
Anyway, so that was supposed to be the 19th, 20th, and 21st. We were supposed to be filming with Ducks Unlimited. On the 19th, we get a text from our good buddy Clay Baird at Ducks Unlimited. And they said, John.
Went to Laredo to do on another hunt.
And fell down a flight of stairs and hit his head.
And passed away.
So he's dead.
He passed away the very next day.
I am shocked.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's crazy because I think if we were doing that hunt, perhaps he wouldn't have fallen down those stairs.
Yeah, maybe he would not have something like that wouldn't have happened.
So he was an incredibly nice guy. John Gordon was really cool. Talking
an amazing
knowledge.
Duck hunter.
Man, that's why I was
a
so
great
excited.
Shot.
I've never been duck hunting, and I get to go on my first duck hunt with a master.
With Gordon, yeah.
And so our thoughts go out to his family and friends and all that, his children.
We miss you, bud. Stay hard, John.
Yeah, man.
We'll catch up with you again one day.
Yeah.
We'll catch up one day. Then you can take us then. We'll just do it then. Folks.
Yeah. Let's, on a lighter note.
1973.
Well, I wasn't here yet.
Thank God. July of 1973. This took place in Matt Harrison country, rural Mississippi.
All right.
Y'all ready for this? At the time of the incident, I think this guy's name is Walter, but at the time of the incident, he says, I was 4 years old. My two brothers were 12 and 14. We were on, can someone say an accident? 12 and 14 and a four-year-old? Bro, we've all been there. We were outside in our backyard moving dirt and playing when my brothers suddenly heard a loud screech. Believing it might be a fast car passing nearby, they ran to the front yard to see what caused it. They found nothing, so they returned to the backyard. Almost immediately after that, all three of us noticed a disc-shaped craft hovering low over the roof of our next-door neighbor's house.
As Matt would say, do what?
Uh-huh. Yeah, do what? The object was silent as it hovered, appearing metallic and solid. A door on the side of the craft slid open. From inside, a short being, approximately 3 foot tall, stepped out onto a narrow catwalk that appeared to encircle the craft.
On the catwalk, yeah, on the catwalk. This UFO has its own catwalk?
Could you imagine you walk out like that, like just surveying the whole the neighborhood? Says that the being was covered in thick, well-groomed brown hair. And wore a fitted coverall, not a bulky suit like those worn by astronauts.
Really?
So he's a hairy, it's like Chewbacca in the old man jumpsuit. A smaller being walked a short distance to the right, then knelt down and opened a small access panel on the exterior of the craft. Using a handheld tool, it made a brief adjustment, then closed the panel and stood up. While this was happening, a second being appeared in the doorway and observed the activity. Says the individual was taller, roughly 5 foot in height, and similarly covered in brown hair. It was also wearing coveralls. Neither of them appeared to notice us, and there was no audible communication between them. After the smaller being returned inside, the door slid shut. The craft began to ascend slowly and steadily. When it reached approximately 100 foot above the ground, it accelerated almost straight upwards, and then vanished from sight within 1 or 2 seconds. This entire event was silent after the initial screeching sound. None of the beings reacted to our presence, and we stood frozen watching this in complete silence. My brothers immediately understood that what we had seen was not human, and at 4 years old, I had no concept of extraterrestrials, but I knew without a doubt that I had never seen anything like this before. So today, my oldest brother and I recall the event with nearly identical details. Our middle brother's recollection differs slightly. He was later diagnosed with schizophrenia, and his memories of the incident diverge greatly from what we both remember experiencing.
Hmm.
He doesn't go into what the brother's experiences right. was. My question is, did they take the brother? All of you think you were just there for a few minutes watching, and they was lost time. Kids back then in the 70s, you're not going to have a you're not going to pay attention to a lot of time, right? Is that, could this be what happened?
Could his abduction cause his schizophrenia?
That's what I'm saying, is him trying to deal with all of whatever happened and saying that this whole thing diverges. Or is it diverging another way? Say, none of this happened. This is, I don't know. I don't have a lot of recollection from 4 years old. I'm not really, wouldn't be any good at any of that, right? So that would be a difference. But if your oldest brother is 14, I do have a lot of recollection from crazy things went on when I was 14.
Right.
So if you're 14 and then you're talking and your little brother's 4, and as y'all talk now and your little brother's telling you stuff and you're like, man, how did you remember that? I was 4. I'm 10 years older than you.
Right.
That's one thing. But whenever the other brother's only 2 years younger at 12 and they see complete difference, I want to know what happened there.
Isn't it weird, though, how your mind works? Because I'm sure you've experienced this. You ever been around a group of friends or whatever, and somebody start telling a story that you were involved in, and you completely forgot, and you're like, dude, I remember that.
Dude, that happens to me a lot.
I'm like, how did I not remember that?
That happens to me often.
Right? Yeah. My wife seems to remember all kinds of things from when she was real, real young. I have no recollection.
No.
But I also have received a lot of head trauma.
That is another thing. Yeah, yeah, you've been hit in the head quite often, so...
Well, yeah. Hey, I was a child of the 70s.
That's, yeah.
Helmets were not it was a luxury to have a helmet.
Yeah, yeah, and it meant you were soft. That was the other problem. Everybody looked at it as like, why are you wearing a helmet? Like, I see people wearing helmets riding horses now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's that?
Yeah,
a helmet, right? Riding a horse? That makes, look, it makes perfect sense. It's like something, I get it.
Whenever I saw somebody with a helmet on riding a horse, I think of like equestrian.
Yeah.
Shit. Right, right.
Well, you remember too, when bull riders, they never wore anything. You wore a shirt.
Yeah.
That's what you pinned your number on the back, pulled your hat down tight, and hung on. Now there's vest, and look,
hockey
good on
helmets.
Them. Good on
oh,
them.
Yeah,
because
good
it
on
saved
them.
A ton of lives. I mean, the late, great Lane Frost killed by Goring. I mean, you're talking about... saving a lot of lives, but it was just different. It's something we don't know. But yeah, the head injury was a...
Yeah, you just had like a pearl snap on.
That was it. That was all you wore.
And Wranglers. That was it.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. I got another pretty crazy one here for you too. And I found this one because I know how much you enjoy, and well, we both enjoy, old like war stories. Things from the war, right?
I do. History. I'm a huge history buff.
Oh, yeah.
Because like the stories are not just cool, but you know that it really happened, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This took place, this is a wild story that took place in Vietnam in 1966.
Mm.
All right. For us, it doesn't sound that long ago, but it was a hot minute back, right? But when you, growing up, when we grew up, we weren't that far removed from it. So that was what was always in our life was Vietnam War movies, television shows, China Beach, Tour of Duty. Like you start going into, Tour of Duty was great. You start going into some really good stuff, right? This took place as a U.S. Army helicopter crewman experienced something that's pretty wild. This is what it says, that he was serving as a door gunner assigned to the perimeter guard duty at the Oasis landing zone.
You shoot women and children?
Yeah. Oh,
how
yeah.
How do you shoot women and children?
Full metal jacket. Yeah. Listen to this. On the previous night, the position had come under attack, and a C-130 gunship nicknamed Puff the Magic Dragon... provided devastating fire support just beyond their perimeter. The streams of tracer fire appeared like liquid flame cutting through the darkness. Now, I remember Puff the Magic Dragon as being miniguns.
Yeah.
Right? Is it a 20-millimeter minigun?
Yes, they
is
have.
Is that what that is?
I think it's 30.
Is it a 30?
I think it's 30 millimeter, and then they also have like 105 howitzers and stuff. They have multiple.
But wasn't weapons. The Puffs the one that would put like things like an inch apart bullets? They would just spray.
I want to say it's 30 millimeter. I could be wrong. Maybe that's just in the A-10.
Yeah, dude, it's unbelievable the amount of firepower this thing will put down. But it said that the following morning, the door gunners reorganized their ammunition belts, grouping all the tracer rounds together in hopes of recreating the same visual and suppressive effect during daylight hours. So that operation, I'm sorry, that afternoon, the crew, they departed on a recon mission and returned toward the landing zone with their weapons on hot, right there, ready to let go. The LZ was wide open, covered in waist-high dry grass. At this point, enemy fire erupted the moment the helicopter touched down. Tracer rounds ignited small fires all across the field. Over the intercom, the witness said he heard that another helicopter behind them was down, possibly disabled by main rotor damage and surrounded by fire. His captain ordered him to grab a fire bottle, right, just a fire extinguisher, go assist. So they both land in the field. Boom, this old boy bails out with all, got his gun, got all that stuff, starts running towards the downed aircraft, but he didn't grab his rifle. So I'm assuming he's got his sidearm, maybe.
45, probably 1911.
Yeah, God bless him. And he's carrying the fire extinguisher. As he runs, the other crew chief on that starts waving him back, saying, you know, giving him hand signals, saying, look, the helicopter's not disabled. We're getting out of here.
Right.
So he turns back around, starts sprinting back. Now, I'm assuming they're not too far apart at this point, right? He's trying to make it back to his own chopper. And a few moments later, he said there's smoke, there's gunfire. He starts looking at it. He can't see where he run through the grass. So now he's like, uh-oh. I'm separated from both choppers. Only one other dude, maybe two dudes, know I got off of that one. The other guy's fixing to lift off. I'm fixing to be left here in a hot LZ. This ain't going well at all, right? So he's trying to find his way. He doesn't know. So he's turned around. He's lost. He doesn't know what to do. He said at this moment, he hears Dung Li screamed at, which was Vietnamese for stop or halt. So he's like, oh, he spins around. North Vietnamese soldier standing there with an AK trained on him.
Oh, no.
He's unarmed. No sidearm, actually. Nothing. He doesn't know what to do. He drops the fire extinguisher bottle, drops to his knees, puts his hands up. Of course, the Vietnamese soldier starts just firing Vietnamese off at him. He goes, I don't know what he's saying. And the soldier's backing up a little bit. The witness, he says, I, at that moment, was certain he's fixing to execute me. This is it.
It's time to Didi Mao.
Yeah, this is it.
Get out of there.
He said, at that moment, he goes, I quit being afraid, and I just became very, very sad.
Just accepted it.
He said, I realized, he said, I'm kind of, everything's playing before me. He's like, man, I don't know what, I can't believe this is what it's come down to. This is how it is. He said, at this point, he said, I just kind of put my head down, and I'm like, well, I hope it's quick, and I hope it doesn't hurt. So let's just, this is what's fixing to happen. He said, he's looking down. He's like, okay. He said, all of a sudden, peace, just complete peace washed over him. No more fear, no more anything. He said, I've never felt anything like it. And then the loud crack of a rifle rang out. He said, I jumped, just completely startled. He's like, that's it. He goes, but I'm not shot. He said, instead, I hear a thump, and I look up, and the soldier dropped to the ground dead.
Mm.
And he's like, what's going on? He said, behind him, steps up. He said, what I believe was probably the tallest, right, military or army dude he had ever seen. He's like, ever. This guy is huge. He's like, we're talking like 8 foot tall, huge.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he describes. He said he appeared to be human, resembling a United States soldier. He stood between 7 and 8 foot tall.
Jeez.
He said his uniform was immaculate. There was no dirt, no sweat, no signs of combat anywhere on him. He stood motionless, flawless, and seemed unreal. He goes on to say that I noticed there appeared to be an aura emanating around this guy, and enough that his helmet was shading his eyes, but that this was, he was completely visible. You could just couldn't see his eyes. It was like from his nose down, from the shade of all this.
What kind of a rifle was this guy packing?
Well, he goes on and says, this thing spoke very calmly to him. He told him, he said, look, everything's going to be okay. You're going to be safe. He said, Thomas, instantly knew the guy's name. Thomas, go back to your bird.
It's not
he
your
said,
time.
At this point, he realized all this took place. This dude's mouth wasn't moving. He's just looking at him. He said, I understood what he meant. I jumped up, turned around, and took off back to the chopper. No hesitation. Slid in. It lifted off. He said, I looked down, and I saw the dude, the dead enemy, right there. There's nobody else around him.
It's a guardian angel.
He said, I didn't tell a soul. He said, I never even breathed a word of it. Nothing for 30 years before I felt comfortable to talk about this with my wife. Of this is what happened. He said, to this day, I still have no idea what it was. He goes, people talk about crazy anomalies in war.
Yeah.
He goes, I have no idea what that was, but something physically killed the enemy soldier and allowed him to leave.
Yeah,
because I have no idea what it was.
He knew his name was like Thomas, get in the car.
Packing a rifle.
Get in the bird.
Packing a gun. Does your guardian angel pack a gun?
I don't know.
Man, if my guardian angel packs a gun, he's going to pistol whip me with it because he's tired of all the BS I put him through.
Cam, I know you like stories about...
I just like stories. You're right.
Owlman. Owlman is one of your favorite topics, right?
I do like Owlman because I'm tired of... I love Mothman and the gargoyle, but Owlman...
Yeah, well, a listener sent us a pretty neat encounter.
All right, let's do it.
Involving an owlman. It says, on September 30th, 2010, in Winnebago, Minnesota, in a quiet town of 1,200 residents, where autumn
sounds like a party place, Winnebago, Minnesota.
When I hear Winnebago, I think of Winnebago Ranch, right? That's here. Oh. That's not too far from here, right over there in Stephenville.
Yeah.
It says the leaves were beginning their transformation to turning brown, and I was driving home from my evening shift at Parker Oaks Nursing Home when something massive and otherworldly caught my peripheral vision. in the shadowy branches of an old tree. Now compelled to look, I turned my head, and when I snapped my attention back to the road ahead, there it was, illuminated in the stark beam of my headlights, stood an impossible figure. It was an owl man, towering 5 foot tall. This creature had a hauntingly human-like body, crowned with an enormous owl-like face. What struck me most were its arms, human-like in structure, with forearms, and biceps, yet covered in feathers, and without hands visible at all. They were wings, connected directly to these human-like arms, forming one continuous structure. The feathers were white on the underbelly and brown on top, just like a regular owl. But the underlying arm structure was distinctly human. The feet were unmistakably owl-like, and the body maintained an eerily human quality that made the whole encounter seem surreal. However, it was the eyes that held me captive. Large, like an owl's, yet unmistakably human in their intelligence. Their brown depths caught the yellow reflection of my headlights, resembling and mesmerizing eyes of animals that reflect in the dark, not luminous, but mirror bright and utterly hypnotic. I slammed on my brakes, coming within 4 feet of this enigmatic being. The moment I hit the brakes, it screeched, a sound that defied explanation, simultaneously avian and human, primal yet conscious. It spread its wings wide in response, those human-like arms extending into magnificent wingspan. The whole scene was frightening. It was profoundly weird, like stepping into a reality that operated by entirely different rules. Then came the moment that changed everything. It simply stared at me with those penetrating, reflective eyes, and I found myself locked in an otherworldly communion, gazing into those ancient depths as time seemed to suspend itself around us. In that electric silence, I felt rather than heard the words, "I see you," resonate through my very soul. I wasn't afraid. Fear couldn't touch this moment. I was frozen in pure wonder, caught in a trance-like state until something shifted, and I became unfrozen, looking away for just a heartbeat. When I turned back, it had vanished as if it never existed, though I glimpsed something impossibly small and swift disappearing into the darkness above, moving with a speed that defied physics. Strangely calm, I continued onto Highway 169, maintaining a speed of 55 miles per hour all the way home, when a new, impossibly emerged a perfect sphere of green fire. This was tennis ball-sized and blazing like a living butane flame. This orb appeared outside my passenger window and began keeping pace with my speeding vehicle with supernatural precision. This ethereal orb danced with fluorescent green flames that flickered and moved like liquid light. The more I became aware of its presence, the more it seemed to respond to me, eventually tapering away and descending toward a distant cow farm as if it knew I was watching. When I finally reached home, my babysitter was furious. I was 2 hours late.
Ooh.
Though the drive should have only taken me 15 minutes at most. I had no memory of where those lost hours had gone, no awareness that time had slipped away like water through my fingers. The next day, I returned to search for burn marks at the cow farm where the green orb had descended. Nothing was there, no trace of its fiery presence, as if it had been nothing more than a beautiful hallucination. But the strangeness was only beginning. I discovered I was pregnant, despite my boyfriend being incarcerated, an impossible conception that remains unexplained to this day, followed by an equally mysterious miscarriage where the baby vanished completely, without requiring any medical intervention, leaving doctors baffled and unable to provide a rational explanation. Then a decade later, during another extraordinary UFO encounter, I met a baby who communicated telepathically that it was the child from that night, the hybrid offspring of something of that impossible pregnancy. Suddenly, some of the puzzle pieces in my life began clicking into place with supernatural precision. This wasn't the malevolent Cornish owl man of the 1976 legend with glowing red eyes and a sinister presence. This being was entirely different, one of profound intelligence and purpose. It looked at me with stern recognition, communicating not through words, but through the very essence of sight itself, its gaze penetrating straight to my soul with a message as clear as mysterious, "I see you." That encounter marked the beginning of my awakening, the first conscious thread in a tapestry of experiences that continues to unfold. The puzzle pieces are still coming together to this day, revealing connections and synchronicities that span years and defy conventional understanding. All stemming from that impossible September night when I looked into the eyes of something beyond our world, V.
Ooh.
So an alien abduction.
Dude.
A pregnancy with a baby. You've heard of this many times where people or women are impregnated and then the aliens come back later and retrieve the baby, the fetus.
There's just no sign of the fetus, any of that. It's just all gone.
But the
overnight.
But not quite owl man, but half owl, half human. Like Eric Crocra, what do they call those things?
Yeah, there you go.
What is that? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Some crazy D&D owl man.
What is the crow-like man? Is that the Keku? What is it?
You know what I'm talking about. It's Kinku or
Kinku or something. Like that. Yeah, that's you need to play next. You've never been one of those.
Give me a crow, man. Dude, that is extremely. First of all, it's sad. It's heartbreaking and it's sad that this is what's all going down.
Yeah.
And you talk about feeling unbelieved. That's the thing that I think gets, at least for women, the most is when it happens to them is everybody's like, well, it's not possible. Right. It couldn't have happened. You're like, bro, it happened. It happened.
In the missing time.
Yeah, the missing time. Folks, hope you enjoyed it. Let's take a quick break. When we get back from the break, we'll wrap this puppy up. And I've got one more story I'm going to share with Mr. Filson because I want to make him feel uneasy, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
January is when we recommit to the habits that support our health and well-being. And naturally, we start looking at what can support those goals, including supplements. But choosing the right supplements can be confusing, because not only are there so many brands out there, the supplement industry itself is a low-trust category. It's lightly regulated, products are easy to make, and companies don't even have to list everything on their label. Now, there's Momentous. They've become the high-trust brand in a low-trust category. They weren't satisfied with the industry standard, so they built the Momentous Standard, their commitment to doing things the right way, not the easy way. Momentous sources the highest quality ingredients on the planet. Their whey protein comes from grass-fed European dairy cows. Their creatine uses the purest form of creatine monohydrate, and every formula is made with clinically backed, highly bioavailable nutrients, with no fillers and no artificial sweeteners. Right now, Momentous is offering listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code AudioBoom. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code AudioBoom for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code AudioBoom.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yeah. January is when we recommit to the habits that support our health and well-being. And naturally, we start looking at what can support those goals, including supplements. But choosing the right supplements can be confusing, because not only are there so many brands out there, the supplement industry itself is a low-trust category. It's lightly regulated, products are easy to make, and companies don't even have to list everything on their label. Now, there's Momentous. They've become the high-trust brand in a low-trust category. They weren't satisfied with the industry standard, so they built the Momentous standard, their commitment to doing things the right way, not the easy way. Momentous sources the highest quality ingredients on the planet. Their whey protein comes from grass-fed European dairy cows. Their creatine uses the purest form of creatine monohydrate, and every formula is made with clinically backed, highly bioavailable nutrients, with no fillers and no artificial sweeteners. Right now, Momentous is offering listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code AudioBoom. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code AudioBoom for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code AudioBoom.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here we go. All right, we're back, Philly. I got to share this with you. Okay, this took place in Mexico City. Lon sent this because it's unsettling, and y'all all know I love to hit Philly with the crazy ones. I like to try to find stuff that makes him, that he's not seen or heard, you know, anything that doesn't fit the norm.
Which is hard to do, because after researching and doing the show for 13 years,
you start finding some wild stuff.
Heard almost every encounter that is under the sun, right?
There was a walking.
But I still love them.
A walking mannequin.
Ooh.
In Mexico City.
Mannequins are creepy. Do you remember the movie?
Oh, here we go. Mannequin? Yeah, it was great. Well, it was a great film. Girlfriend. She would ride on the back of the bike and look like a mannequin, but to him, she was alive.
Talk about a movie that doesn't hold up. If you watch that now, you're like, this is.
What are you talking about?
This is preposterous. But when I was a kid, you're like, that was like a major film.
Dude.
Like, people literally went to the movie theater, spent money on a ticket to watch that.
You know what else I forgot? We were talking about the 86 films. The Goonies, bro.
That's 86?
I believe the Goonies is 86, too.
But you know what I'm talking about? Somebody went to Advantage Movie Rental, or Hodges down here.
Somebody greenlit that movie saying, that sounds like a good idea. Let's make that film. That's what I always think about. All the turds that you watched when you were... Now, I don't know about now. I'm sure there's... Well, I know Luke's driven you to see a lot of turds. You know, y'all have gone to see some, but...
Shh, don't say that.
Yeah. What is Luke?
No, Luke doesn't listen.
Luke doesn't listen. He could not care any less about what you and I do. So listen to this.
Do you know what year Mannequin came out?
86?
No, 87.
Oh!
I just looked at it. Maybe it was filmed in 86.
It was filmed in 86.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Okay. This took place in the late 2000s, right before it started. And then they also said in the early pandemic years is when this took place. It's crazy how we say the early pandemic years. But listen to this. The very first story or the testimony that this was ever talked about took place on a Spanish podcast by a fellow named Horacio Martinez. He talked about his experience that occurred after midnight while he was visiting friends in San Rafael, which is a neighborhood in Mexico City. Horacio and his best friend Hector had left a downtown party around 1 in the morning to meet former classmates at a rented apartment near an abandoned house. Because they did not have the exact address, they were told to meet at a nearby hotel. When they arrived, their friends were already outside, visibly shaken and arguing among themselves. They had claimed that while buying beer earlier, that they had seen a strange woman outside the shop, possibly wearing a mask. Others insisted that it was only a mannequin and mocked the fear that it had caused.
Yeah, that's creepy, man.
So the argument abruptly ended when a strange sound echoed nearby, creating an oppressive silence and an overwhelming sense of dread. Horatio watched as his friends' expressions changed instantly. They screamed and ran up the street. He himself remained frozen and turned to look behind him. In the middle of the street, a female-shaped figure was advancing towards him. It moved unnaturally, balancing on its toes while leaning backward. Its arms were extended stiffly at its side, hanging like lifeless prosthetics. Although it appeared to be running, the movement was silent and completely wrong. Without warning, the figure turned and ran into a nearby decaying house, a structure that had looked abandoned and out of place even in the daylight. Later on, driven by curiosity despite Horatio's objections, the group approached the house, finding it padlocked, so they climbed over the entrance.
Right.
At that moment, a second floor window slowly opened. Standing inside was what Horatio described as either a mannequin or a person wearing a mask.
Dude.
He stated it was the most horrifying sight of his life. The entire group fled immediately, running towards Insurrectionist Avenue and escaping by taxi. In the weeks that followed, Horatio suffered reoccurring nightmares in which he entered the house and opened the door after door after door, only to find that the mannequin was waiting inside each room in his dream. There was a second encounter. Wasn't the one occurred in Roma neighborhood adjacent to Paseo de la Reforma. A man leaving work late one night described walking alone along Reforma towards Insurrectionist Avenue to catch the metro bus. Although the area was familiar and felt normally safe, he suddenly felt a chill and the strong urge to walk faster. The street was empty and silent. As he attempted to jog, he injured his ankle and stopped near the empty commercial storefront. From the darkness inside the vacant space, he felt as if he was being watched. When he focused his eyes, he saw what appeared to be a mannequin left behind after the business had closed. One arm was extended towards the street, pointing towards him. The sight triggered an intense wave of sadness, and he felt the urge to cry, emotions that he could not explain. As he moved away, he heard the sound of the business door opening behind him. When he turned to look back, that mannequin was gone. From the last metro bus of the night, he looked back towards Reforma and saw a silhouette standing where the mannequin had been moments earlier, and he later stated that he'd hoped someone had just moved it as a prank because the alternative meant it had followed him down the avenue.
Right.
The third report came from a woman living in the Juarez neighborhood during the COVID pandemic. She routinely went running at night along Paseo de la Reforma to avoid crowds. On the night of the encounter, her cat had cried intensely before she left, behavior that she had found very troubling. Had never done this before. Around 11 in the evening, the streets were completely empty. So as she ran towards the Torre Mayor area, she became anxious and hyper aware, sensing that something was wrong. Folks, we've talked about this before. You need to listen to your instincts. That's your body.
Yeah, right.
Feeling out things. Listen to your instincts. And she did. After turning back, she experienced sudden silence, as if all ambient sound had vanished. Approximately 40 meters ahead, a figure emerged from the darkness and began moving toward her.
What is it about mannequins that are creepy?
I don't know. I don't.
I used to get creeped out by them when I was a kid. Like you go into
when you walked into the
department store,
because the Hub had those old school ones that just, yeah, dude, that was unsettling. Because they were well painted. When you're gonna dope Tea Garden's mom? Whenever we got them all, it's like we got even with the mannequins that day.
Yeah, tell them what we're talking about.
We have a really good friend of ours whose mother owned a clothing store here in town on our square. And she had it for years, and she had decided to close it all down, I guess is what it was. Mm-hmm. And she had all the mannequins, the tea garden got them all, loaded them all up into his truck and brought them out to Kyle's house, and we lined them all up. And then us, we've got photos and video of it somewhere.
Yeah,
there's video footage somewhere of it. There was like 15 of us out there with shotguns and SKSs and pistols, and we lined them all up and just went off on them like a firing squad, just shooting mannequins left and right. We'd have them set up in trees to scare people. Yeah, we went a little above and beyond with the mannequins.
Yeah, we used them, remember, as Halloween props.
Yep, we had the one we would send down the wire towards people. We had a great time. So this gal, again, like I said, freaked out, all of it. She was done. Change direction, right? All this stuff. She's leaving out of there. This thing emerges from the darkness, starts coming towards her. She changes direction. This thing moves just like she does. A man she recognized from the neighborhood suddenly appears, waving at her and warning her to come back. Don't go that way. He pointed behind him towards the direction she'd been running. Crossing Paseo de la Reforma was a mannequin-like figure dressed in old-fashioned women's clothing. It moved clumsily and deliberately. The witness watched this entity as it lifted a draining grate, the big drainage grate, with ease, climbed down inside the sewer system, pulled the grate shut, and vanished. Gone. Three reports over a series of a few years, all within the exact same area, all describing seeing the exact same thing.
Man, that's
a creepy mannequin.
The mannequins are creepy. I don't know why.
What could it have possibly been? I mean, truly, people aren't dressing up because, look.
Well, and there's multiple sightings.
People do dress up, right? And that used to be a thing. People would dress up, try to fool other people, trick other people, all that stuff. I always go back to, how long would you have to wait? You're waiting for the hopes that some stranger is going to walk down a dark street at night and just so happen to look into an old abandoned business, and you're standing back in there only to crouch down where they can't see you and then stand back up when he gets on the bus to see you, right? Like, there's a lot of things have to fall in line. It almost feels like more BS that they're dressed up.
If I met somebody doing that, though, I'd respect the dedication.
Oh, yeah, you'd have to admire the hustle of staying out there trying to be like, that's what we're doing. So there you go. Hope you enjoyed all the crazy stories from
today. That is crazy. If you have a crazy story you'd like to share with Cam and I, as well as the other listeners, you can email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the hotline, 888-393-2783. Cam, I know it's snowy out. I know a lot of things are shut down, but do you have any big plans for the rest of your week?
No, I do not. Probably just monkeying around here. Yeah, I don't have anything too crazy, nothing big planned, the whole deal.
Good for you. I don't either. I have a bunch of continuing education I'm about to have to start doing because...
You need all the help you can get. You need to be educated.
Every 2 years, I have to take the same stupid courses.
I didn't realize you were so dumb that you forgot everything that you had done for the last 17 years and you had to be refreshed over it in 24 months. So you're telling me your memory... And your ability to learn is so terrible that every 24 months you need to pay the state for them to let you know you're okay.
That's right. It's a scam. Nice. Somebody's getting money somehow.
No, no. It has to be this way.
It's kind of like the daycares or whatever. It's a scam.
Somebody's, it has to be this way, dude, because you yourself are a Momo.
That is true.
But look, everything's picking back up. After the snowfall, we're going to roll. Texas has winter for a week, and then we go into the spring.
That is
correct.
I'm okay with that. That's right. Well, if you want to support your favorite show, don't forget about our Patreon. You can go to Expanded Perspectives Elite. You can go to Patreon. Just go over there and find that. If you want to give the gift, you can do that too. Let's not forget about our wonderful sponsor. Right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products. All you have to do is text the word EXPANDED. That's EXPANDED to the number 64,000. That's right. Text expanded to 64,000. Hope everybody out there has a good week. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.